Well, hello and welcome to Local Matters. We are talking education matters today, and we are talking to Dr. Catherine Jones, who has been appointed as one of 16 educators across Tennessee to the STEM and STEAM redesignation task forces. Dr. Jones, you've been here before. It's as principal of Prescott, we see you frequently, but first, congratulations on being appointed to this task force.
Thank you. It is an honor. I'm excited.
It sounds like there are a select group of educators from all over the state. So you represent Putnam County and really the Upper Cumberland region. So thank you for doing that. And we're going to talk in just a moment about what that task force is going to be doing and how it's going to help shape education and or framework for education anyway over the next few years. But why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your background and how you got to Prescott?
Okay. I was a fifth grade teacher at Parkview Elementary for 3 years, and then the county decided to create a fifth and sixth grade middle school. So I moved to Prescott Central and opened that school as a fifth grade teacher and closed that school as an assistant principal for the fifth graders there. And then I opened Prescott South Elementary as the principal and have been there since it opened in 2010. And then in 2012, we participated in, it was called a STEM platform grant. It was through Race to the Top, First to the Top funding and Battelle. They joined together to try to replicate the Ohio STEM Learning Network in Ohio, based out of Columbus. So they wanted to see if they could replicate that in another state. And so we participated in that. And I guess the rest is history at this point.
Well, you obviously played a significant leadership position in it, because Prescott was known all along as one of the statewide leaders in launching that that Battelle program. And that's a real compliment to Prescott and to you. Well, and you grew up in Putnam County anyway.
Yes. I grew up in Cookeville. I went to the original campus school until second grade, and then third grade went to Northeast and then Cookeville Junior High, and was a graduate of Cookeville High School, and then attended Tennessee Tech to get my education.
Well, that's great. That's outstanding. Well, tell us about this redesignation task force. The concept of redesignation is important.
Yes, sir. So originally there were six STEM platform schools, and that status lasted for 5 years, and they TSIN decided that they needed to make sure that the work was high quality. So they created a rubric for designation. And what that meant was that we'd learned enough about STEM that there was research to back specific practices, and we wanted to have a rigorous criteria as a state. So we applied for designation 5 years after the platform status expired, and were designated. What's happening now is that the designation, the 5 years are passing, and you want to make sure that the rigor is there in the STEM work. And STEM is a reflective work. It's continuous improvement, and the times are changing. So we need to make sure that we are keeping up with the times. And honestly, we're not sure what that work looks like yet. We've had one meeting, and there were some great conversations, but the work hasn't been done anywhere in the nation at this time. So this is an original piece, and you put a lot of people with very diverse backgrounds in a room, and some rich conversation occurs.
I'll bet.
So we have, at this point, I feel confident we have more questions than answers, but it was a very exciting time together, and we have more meetings. We're now kind of partnered up to have some think tank discussions and some documentation just to get ideas flowing. And then you want to make sure that it's wide reaching, but also that we're continuing the intended work. So
it's exciting. And just in case some of our listeners are not familiar with the STEM concept, STEM came out of NASA, and National Science Foundation had a little bit to do with it too, I think. And it stood for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics in its first life, I guess, didn't it?
Yes, yes.
But it's been modified since.
Well, we try to, it's about integrating subjects. So instead of teaching a subject in isolation, but the way it's modified in, I'll say at Prescott Elementary and most likely at Prescott Middle, we integrate the subjects, but we tend to use the engineering design process to apply skills that we've learned. And so it has to be at an age appropriate level. So in kindergarten, it's going to look different than second grade, than fourth grade or sixth grade, and then on to high school. We also integrate a lot of career awareness. We want to make a connection for the students so that their education has a purpose. And also it adds that creative element so that it's not a black and white answer. There are a lot of correct answers, and the creativity is so important. We want to encourage that. That's where new inventions and innovations come from. If you think about the telephone and how far it's come, no one was just satisfied. Everyone keeps innovating and making it newer and better. So if you think 10 years down the road, you know, what's going to be in our hand or our pocket or our purse?
Look at what the cell phone has evolved into. And Elon Musk would say, look at what space flight has evolved into over this period. So, yeah, I think STEM is just such an exciting concept. And part of the beauty is the integration that you can teach an English lesson about space or an English lesson about mathematics. And it can stimulate young minds. Well, we want to talk a little bit about age appropriate STEM. So we'll talk about what a kindergarten person might do in a sixth grader and maybe an eighth grader in the middle school and maybe a fourth grader somewhere in there. But we should recognize that across the state and the nation, it has also it has evolved into STEAM, and you were telling me STREAM and some other acronyms too. So explain those a little bit.
Well, we stick to STEM, but it's inclusive. So everyone on campus is included. It's an every student effort. We don't do it as an enrichment program, although there might be an extension activity offered to students that would be an option. STEAM is quite often when people want to integrate arts into it, and they want to imply that art is not included in STEM, but in the engineering design process, creation is part of it. So there's a lot of creativity there. It may not be art history, but there are definitely elements of art and shapes and depth and many attributes. Then there are, for us, we include, there are millions of agriculture jobs in our state. And so we say if we were going to have an A, we would probably have agriculture because the art's already embedded, but the agriculture could be a new element. But we're sticking with STEM. And then I've also seen where there's an IE on the end, and that includes everyone, but we're already including everyone. So we don't need STEAM. We don't need STREAM. We don't. Also, that some schools want to do an R for reading. We're already focused on reading.
I've seen that.
That's our focus before we ever start talking about STEM. So,
but again, if you think about it, in agriculture, agricultural engineering is a big field. So
yes,
you
sir.
Already had agriculture in there. And the same could be said with art, with Galileo, and with a lot of other things. So I guess you sort of brew your own brew out of this, but I'm glad you're sticking to the original designation. So what are some of the kind of knockdown dragouts that you think might occur in this redesignation committee? What kind of discussions or challenges will they bring up?
I'm going to start with the positive. The good news is the State Department has been very supportive. So I'm thrilled that they have found value with STEM education, and the network is doubling and tripling with participants. So all that is, for me, a very positive. when we originally started, there were just a few sparks here and there of people who might be interested. And at this last meeting, I think they said there were 80 schools across the state that did the first round to try to be designated this year. Right now, I think there are 60 designated schools approximately. So over doubling it, just even if that's just the interest level, I just think that's encouraging for our state because there are so many soft skills built into it. And they're elementary, they're middle, and they're high school. So it's a variety. You asked about knockdown dragouts. I don't think the conversations will be, I'm going to say arduous in nature, but you do have to consider everyone else's path and the most rural of schools and a district that might have 3 to 5 schools in an entire district versus Shelby County that has over 200 schools.
Yes.
So when you're talking about an equalized playing field, you can't really nail it down to a number or a specific. You have to keep it open-ended so it can apply to their situation and add the intended effect to that situation. So,
yeah, I think that's good to let it be tailored to the local environment. And again, at Oak Ridge Schools and Oak Ridge National Laboratory right there, it's probably different than it is in Dyersburg and in a more rural kind of setting. So that's good. Well, we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about age appropriate STEM education and then talk some more about the great things happening at Prescott Elementary. This is Local Matters and we are talking to Dr. Catherine Jones and we will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Dr. Catherine Jones, principal at Prescott South Elementary School, a STEM designated school here in Putnam County, and one of the leader schools across our entire state in STEM activities. And Catherine, we were talking before the break about age appropriate STEM. So a kindergarten student probably won't see the same things that a fifth grader will. Talk a little bit about what the kindergarten student might see and then maybe advance it up through the rest of the grades.
Well, STEM is a journey. And I'm going to say, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade is a progression and it's a developmental progression. And so we want kindergartners to be kindergartners. And one of the first lessons that we learned when we started implementing STEM was that there are high expectations, and then there are times when something is simply over a child's head. It's out of their developmental range. And so those are some of the lessons that we learned the first couple of years when we were kind of, we were grassroots developing our what's now our program. We had to make some decisions around an engineering design process. We originally started with the legacy cycle, and it was very high level. And it was too many steps and too high of a vocabulary for the little, I'm going to say K-2 learners. So we decided to find a different engineering design process and use it to implement because it was more about being able to complete an understanding, a journey, than it was memorizing vocabulary terms. So we now have a 3-step design process for kindergarten through second, a 5-step for third and fourth. And what that looks like in kindergarten, it looks like sharing ideas with a friend, being able to communicate, trying to build something, if you're trying to build the tallest or the widest or the longest, or is it supposed to hold something? What's the goal? And there's going to be a theme around that. Sometimes, well, always there are constraints. So you may have limited materials, limited time, a goal to accomplish, and the learning happens within that. But it's very personalized because one child might learn, I'm going to say a physics theory that they wouldn't name as physics, but it's what it is, while another child is learning, this child won't do what I'm telling them to do. I've got to work on my communication skills. I need to either be kinder with it or more specific terminology. So there are lots of things going on within the classroom. And all those are based on standards, Tennessee standards, and applying those standards through the activities. Once you get into second and third grade, students are, they have more skills, so they're able to do more defined mathematics, more defined writing with purpose. The engineering design process is just embedded as part of it, but it's more exciting for them. Once you work your way into middle school, all three middle schools in Putnam County have student-based enterprises where they are creating a product. They have teams for marketing. They have teams for production. They have a sales team. They have an inventory team. So the students fully understand a business if that's something they're interested in. Those are opportunities that were not around when I was a child. And then once you get to high school, there are CTE-based classes. There you have engineering-based classes.
Mechatronics of things. Yeah. Yes.
So you pick a path, and then you might go culinary arts. You might go cosmetology. You might go, as we said, engineering, you know, mechatronics. It depends on your interest. It depends on what your post-education is going to look like after 12th grade. And the high schools are doing a phenomenal job of making everyone aware of scholarships that are available. You know, Tennessee Promise, to try to allow them to take advantage of those opportunities and then have a career that they enjoy. That's kind of the path.
That's a pretty good range, but a great series of growing opportunities, too. I was talking to Jeff Slagle recently, who for a long time was supervisor of the CTE programs at the high school, and he could always talk about some exciting things going on in STEM-related activity. And Jeff's now gone to the TCAT in Livingston.
Yes,
and
sir.
So he'll be doing some a little more advanced things up there, maybe with students. But he may very well see many of the students that he saw at in Putnam County school system.
We
too.
Hope so.
Yeah, they'll go on and do some good things. And you mentioned a term during your, as you were describing this, that is one of the other M's in STEM that I had heard early. And instead of mathematics, that was manufacturing. And in some communities that had a heavy manufacturing base, they just elected to focus on that. Again, a career focus that maybe made it better for their students. Well, you mentioned the engineering design process. And again, for a kindergarten student, it's a pretty simple process. But describe what you're trying to get across to students in that.
You want to ask what's out there. You want to create a solution to a problem, and then you want to improve your solution. And it's a cyclical process. So it's never ending. You would never be finished if there weren't a time constraint, if there weren't material constraints, because most days I'd say all of us go home, reflect on our day, and think of the way to make tomorrow better than today was. Sometimes it's an organization. Sometimes it's how you handled a situation. And if I were creating prototypes, then I would be thinking about the prototype, and next time I would like to do this, or how I would handle it differently. STEM is not always a thing. Often it's an idea. So sometimes there are prototypes that you're able to test, but sometimes there aren't due to the nature of whatever the problem is we're trying to solve. But we're just trying to be problem solvers. That's the bottom line, is trying to improve the world around us.
Yeah, I think that's the framework, is a problem, a solution, an action, and then an improvement cycle and a redefinition of the problem. And that's in effect what you're doing with the redesignation task force, is reconsidering the problem anyway and saying, are we still doing what we think we ought to do. So that's pretty cool. Well, you've got folks on the task force from Clarksville, Montgomery County system, Knox County, Shelby County, Bradley County, Kingsport City Schools, Roane County Schools, pretty wide range of skill sets there and experience base. So I think you all are going to have an exciting time. Now, do you report, as this task force, do you report to the Commissioner of Education or the State Board, or where does it go?
So the redesignation process leaders are the employees of the Tennessee STEM Innovation Network, who are employees of Battelle with a partnership with the Department of Education. And so there are representatives of the Department of Education that are assigned to the STEM task force. And so they're very good about listening to the conversations, the ideas in the room, and then they'll kind of guide with an activity or guide with a conversation starter, or we had a brainstorming activity. But they really, some of the ideas that were thrown out during our discussion, just basically, what did we want to create? Well, there were a lot of different ideas in the room. You have 16 members, you have 16 ideas, and you can't assume anything. Yep. So I think the things that I was encouraged by are that the State Department is behind us. They're, you know, they're, the support is there, because we know that if the support's not there, then the program dies. You know, it's that's real simple. So it seems like the partnership is strong. TSIN is growing at a very rapid pace. I also serve as a mentor, and I'm currently, last year I was mentoring three schools formally. This year I've added three more schools, and then I'm working with a couple of other schools that I'm just, you know, they reach out as, I call them STEM friends. The work that's happening, it's kind of, I always picture Willy Wonka with all the sparkles in the air, and yeah, it's going to come into something solid. But at this point, it really just has, it's a thought process. Right now I'm trying to gather my ideas of what would be purposeful without overwhelming, because yeah, the whole goal of education is to read, to be able to do mathematics, to be informed with science and social studies and those important fundamentals. But times are changing, so we also need additional skills.
Yeah.
So this kind of integrates those.
Well, that's going to be exciting. And when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit more about the redesignation, and then about what you're doing this year at Prescott. This is Local Matters, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking today to Dr. Catherine Jones, the principal at Prescott South Elementary School. I stumble over that South, Catherine, almost every time. And but you also were talking today about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math designation, which Prescott has. And we've talked about you being on this task force, but you also mentioned that you're a mentor to a lot of schools. And I know even in year one and year two, Prescott was identified at the state level as one of the leader schools. So talk about what you do as a mentor with other schools.
Sure. Through the Tennessee STEM Innovation Network, schools go through, there are different cohorts if they're interested in STEM implementation. And one of those cohorts is called the Innovative Leaders Institute. And I serve as an Innovative Leaders Institute faculty member. So that consists of, sometimes it's a school tour. Last year it was a virtual tour, conversations with a variety of educators. And then they'll pair you up with a school that they feel like you might be a good match for. And so generally it's a similar population numbers-wise. I don't think there are that many schools across Tennessee that are actually that much alike. We just have diverse counties and diverse schools. But what I do is I try to encourage them, help them brainstorm ideas, help them realize what they're already doing and grow their strengths. And there's a rubric for designation. And so I try to stick to those main indicators, always keeping sustainability at the forefront. So whatever you do, how can you keep that going? If leadership changes, if an employee changes, and make it exciting and fun for the faculty and the students. So so I've made a lot of friends that way. It's great.
I bet. And gotten to see some school environments that maybe you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
I learn more than I give, of course. You know, it's
that's
so interesting.
That's part of the fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Well, you guys have just done so much. I know last year when we were talking, you were focused at Prescott South Elementary. You were focused on manufacturing as the theme of the year at
yes.
that point. What are you doing this year?
This year, we are focusing on the evolution of communication. And so we're fortunate we get to have a face-to-face family engagement event that's coming up, and we will have stations to try to help students realize different forms of communication, how communication has evolved over time, starting with hieroglyphics. It's really interesting. And then ways that children communicate that they may not even realize. And so that this year communication has, and then we always have our grade level focuses as well. And so we're continuing with the grade level focuses and just using the engineering design process to create it, that's the big stuff is creating.
Well, it sounds like fun. And of course you can take that right back to science and technology talk about satellite communication and deep space communication, and you could spend the entire year on communication, couldn't
yep,
you?
And we will.
and you will. And that'll be a lot of fun for a bunch of those kids, I would just bet. You also, as all of our schools do, but you partner with local businesses on things. Some are adoptive school kind of partners, and then there's other ways too. Talk about some of the local businesses that help you out, or just talk about how they help you.
I have a great example from last Friday. Last Friday was the Friday before Halloween, and that's a tradition on our campus. We have Career Day, and so we had volunteers from the community come in and talk about their career. We had it's posted on our Twitter page. But I would say no less than 20 careers represented throughout the day, and such a variety of careers. And the adults were wonderful. We had everything from, we had a local wood artist who was so patient and kind. The kids were touching the art, and it makes me a nervous wreck. But he said, no, I brought stuff they could touch. So fortunately, he was thinking he when he set up.
Knew that would happen.
But he had a gallery set up, and I was nervous. We have a stenographer. We had a dermatologist surgeon, but that's not the right way to say that. Dermatological surgeon.
Probably.
That was an interesting. We had a fireman. We had some police officers. We had a computer scientist. We had a chemistry major. Just a wide variety of veterinarian who brought a very specific kind of lizard that was large. And then a dog and a cat and all those things. It just makes for an exciting day for a student. And they learn about the careers. And then next year we'll get to do it again. And we'll have another set of careers. But it helps open their mind and help them realize the jobs that are out there that aren't retail, law enforcement, teacher, you know, the careers that are in front of us
yeah.
every day.
And restaurant. It helps them see some of the reasons they're studying a particular
yes,
topic.
Absolutely. We had an electrician. I could go on and on. I'm going around the gym thinking of all those parents. If any of those parents are listening, thank you so much for your day last Friday. It was a huge success.
Well, that's great. And you're right. It opens minds and maybe opens their eyes to, I'm going to study this when I get in college or when I go to TCAT or wherever. Well, it's been an unusual almost 2 years now. I don't think we can go through a session on this program without talking a little bit about the pandemic. But I had one thought while you were talking about STEM education. I don't know if any of your teachers have done it, but it seems like there could be some remarkable science and other lessons on the pandemic itself and on how germs spread. Have you seen any of the teachers doing that this year? Do you know?
I think those lessons are like social lessons. They're kind of embedded into our life right now. So we have the option of wearing a mask. So that would be a daily lesson and a daily choice. Mm-hmm. We're regularly washing our hands and explaining why we wash our hands. And then when you come to a science lesson that is talking about germs and how they're spread, it's just going to naturally, you know, you can't help but to go there. It's been real life experiences. Something that we realized, our current kindergartners have never had a live family engagement event. They've never been on the stage at Prescott. Every year, grade level gets on the stage, and we've had these live events, and they're traditions, but we haven't been able to do them for the past 2 years. And so we're so excited to be able to host them in a safe, optional environment. It's not a required environment. It's like a ball game. So you have the choice of coming, but it's just nice to be able to offer it to the families.
It's good to get re-engaged, isn't it, in a live setting. And it just makes so much difference. And I've noticed it at church. It's just good to see people, and mm-hmm. the smiles break out. And so that's super. Well, I know the teachers have endured a remarkable couple of years, tough years in some ways. They weren't trained to handle the kind of restrictions that they were placed under over the last couple of years. So are they about back to normal?
I can't really answer that. That's going to be an individualized response. But what I can tell you is that the teachers in Putnam County are amazing. They have such a gift for teaching, for learning, for kindness, for planning ahead, for their willingness to learn. We were talking about improving. Our county is a progressive county, and we want to be successful. We have a reading curriculum that requires a lot of time. We have a math curriculum that requires a lot of time. We have four subjects in elementary, so we also have a science and a social studies lesson, and we also support response to intervention practices. But the teachers are so good at what they do. You go in and watch them, and I get to do walkthroughs, and I sit involved. I'm not the leader, but I'm involved in data team meetings, and I'm just very proud of our county, of the leadership, and of the actions of the teachers, because it's been a rough road, and they are still thriving. And that's amazing, because the kids give you the energy. When they show up, you're ready to go. It's like showtime, and that those are good days.
You're right. They bring energy wherever they go, and we ought to brag on the parents too.
Absolutely.
My gosh, they weren't prepared for this as much as the teachers were. I think
teachers weren't prepared for pandemic, and parents weren't prepared to be teachers. So there was
a whole twist
there.
That's right. Boy, we ought to be giving out degrees to some of those teachers some of those parents for.
Yeah, we appreciate their support and involvement.
All that they've done, and we got to brag on the students. They just, my gosh, of course they didn't know any different, but they just they attack a problem, and sort of like STEM, it's mm-hmm. a problem. So what are we going to do?
Yep.
And they do very well with it.
Usually, when you talk about safety, and the students they realize that safety, they know you're trying to help them. So safety is important. That's why we have to do what the adult asks, or in this case with the pandemic, we had certain practices and they were for safety. And everybody wants to be safe and keep their friends safe. So that was
That's a good important. Way to, good framework for them. Well, I wish we had more time. We've still got a lot to talk about, but we'll get you back to continue the conversation at some point. We have been talking to Dr. Catherine Jones from Prescott South Elementary School. One of the select few who was chosen as principals to represent other schools all across the state in the STEM Redesignation Task Force. Catherine, it's been good to have you with us again, and we'll look forward to having you back.
Thank you for having me.